welcome. Good morning. Merry Christmas to all. Let's sing together, Joy to the World. Song called Oh Holy Night, and it gets really high. So what we would like to do is have everybody sing the verse, but just the ladies sing the chorus. So they'll start with Fall on Your Knees, just as ladies. The guys will help sing everything else.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long may the world in sin and repine till He appear and the soul felt its worth.
be seated. Well, again, I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. I want to welcome you to the service. Thank you for being here and being a part of this special service. To us, a child of hope is born. May the peace of Emmanuel, God with us, be with one and all. So there won't be any announcements, except for one this morning. We're going to do a lot of singing and just worshiping the Lord together. We have a baptism, which we're all joyfully anticipating. But one, I want to invite the ushers forward, and as they come forward, I'll make one quick announcement, and that is, if you are a child under the age of youth, I was told to tell you to go to the library after the service, and there's a little gift for you. So, under the age of youth, let that be up to your discretion. Let's pray together, and then we will worship with song. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this day. Thank you for the offering. I pray that you would bless the gift and the giver, and may the all that it is used for be for your honor and glory. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please take out the green hymnal, the Mennonite, or the, sorry, the Zion's Praises. I always get those two mixed up. Turn to number 112. A beautiful star of Bethlehem. 112.
Thank you.
117. Number 117, and let's stand to sing this one.
Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. Glory be to God. Whew, that's good stuff. It is a good day to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I was thinking, as a kid, I used to think, and I think last year Christmas was on Sunday, and I remember as a kid, the closer Christmas got to a Sunday, the more of the curse it was to be on church around Christmas. But what better way to celebrate Jesus Christ's birth than to be together with the body of Christ this morning? So if your attitude is one of, I wish I wasn't here, I wish I was at home sleeping, I wish I was at home opening presents, whatever it may be, I am glad that you're here, and I pray that you will be blessed by the service here this morning. There's one who is not happy that we're here this morning. There is an enemy at work within your life, within mine, within the life of the church, within the life of those in America, and the life of those around the world. And he desires to defeat what God means for good. He desires to defeat and turn for his purposes, to defeat the Christian and their desire to be baptized or to submit or to express their desire to follow Jesus. This past week, I can testify from the leadership team perspective, we felt the attack of the enemy on our lives bring discouragement, despair, desires to run away, to sin, whatever it may be. That was our story. What was your story this week? Satan hates what is happening here this morning, but glory be to God. Glory be to God. He's already won the victory. The battle is not one that we're winning here this morning. The battle has already been won. Praise be to God for that. So I desire to open with a prayer this morning, a protection over your mind, over my mind, that there would be nothing that would stand in the way of what Jesus desires to do here among us this morning. So let's come together for a word of prayer. Father, we position ourselves before you this morning. We ask that you would take away the things that stand in contrast to the gospel in our lives this morning. That our ears would be opened, that our eyes would be opened to see, that the testimony of those that are sharing this morning would stir within us and our spirits would minister together. The gospel of Jesus Christ. May nothing stand in the way. I pray for Russell, for Lincoln, for Anthony, for Maheen, and for Brent, Lord, this morning. I pray that even now your spirit of protection would just surround them. Give them confidence in their decision to be baptized this morning. And as they testify to us through baptism, Lord, would you stir within us a desire to walk and to be put to death to our sin and be raised to life in Jesus Christ here this morning. You deserve all the honor. You deserve all the praise. And we give it to you this morning, Lord. We just ask that you would take over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I was looking back through past sermon notes, and I guess this is kind of my go-to when it goes to baptism sermons, but it's a very popular passage, but it is very applicable for what we are doing here today. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we have died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. And now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Do not let sin control you the way Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Amen? Is that your testimony here this morning, that you have been dead, but you now know what life is really like? I would like to point out three things that this passage brought up and should be an incredible encouragement for the believer, and it should be an incredible conviction for those who do not know Jesus here this morning. So three things. First is, baptism symbolizes a believer's death to sin. As a pastor, I've been able to be a part of numerous baptisms, burials, and funerals. And in those is a commencement where you lay the body in the grave. They're typically out sitting over their plot. And it's like the final words that are said, like, we commit this body to the ground. This morning is a burial. We are committing the old way of life to the ground, to never become alive again. And we are celebrating the new life that comes through death. Jesus died for your sin. Jesus died for your sin. Not just mine, but yours as well. In the Garden of Eden, we had Adam and Eve. They were the only two people, and they sinned. God had said, do not eat from this tree. And they thought, we desire knowledge. We desire to live the way we want to live. And so they sinned against God. And we see, fast forwarding, that God created a path for relationship with him, even though we had chose ourselves as God instead of him. We see that he instituted sacrifice. In order to sacrifice something, something has to give its life. There was a need for blood as a way of pointing forward to Jesus Christ when he comes. And for there to be blood, there must be death. Jesus is that eternal sacrifice once and for all for your sin and for my sin and for yours as well. By being baptized, we proclaim the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus is a sacrifice. Jesus is the atonement for your sin, which gives us great confidence as we approach the throne of God. Being baptized proclaims that message. And we are identifying ourselves as his servants, as his slave. As Romans 6 that we just read said, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. We are now dead to the power of sin. As I was sharing with the people being baptized, one of the classes, I was like, what happens to our sin when God looks at us? What does he see when he sees you? I think we often live as if God looks at us and says, well, all right, he's trying hard. Do you believe that when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ on you? He doesn't see your sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ because Christ has paid the price for your sin. It is no more. It is as if it is white as snow. That is what baptism is all about. Here in a little bit, there will be some five people that are symbolizing going down. I'm going to say this over and over. So if it seems like I'm repeating myself, I am. Because I want you all to understand, people are symbolizing dying. And when they come out, they are a new creation. I've had the blessing, the opportunity of sitting with numerous people when they breathe their final breath. It's a very intimate time. And it's often not a time that is graceful. It's often not a time that is enjoyable. It's an honor to be there, but it's difficult to watch somebody give up. And if you know what I'm talking about, you've experienced that, it's hard. Some of you here this morning are dying very slowly. You're fighting the death of submission to Jesus Christ. You are flailing at the idea of giving up your last breath of yourself. Jesus says, come. Come to me. He died for you. Are you dying hard, or have you submitted to Jesus Christ? You know, there's a baptism question, once again, that says, what does it mean to trust in Jesus? It's kind of a hard question. Think about that. What does it mean to trust Jesus? It calls me to think, it takes a lot of trust to die. When I am laying in my bed or whatever I'm doing when I'm dying, I imagine that I'll be thinking, God, you have me. God, I trust you. It's hard to trust, to take that final breath, especially if you are not confident in your eternal destination. A believer in Jesus can die with the trust that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin, and that when you get to heaven, you won't have to fear the throne of God. It will be like coming home to your Father and Him saying, come on in. Welcome home. Secondly, baptism symbolizes that you are being resurrected in Christ. Being raised up out of the water signifies our new life in Christ and our union with Him. God, our Heavenly Father, physically raised Jesus from the dead and gave Him life. And He has done the same for us. If you know Jesus this morning, He has done the same for you spiritually. He has breathed life into lungs that only breathed death before. The world needs to see that change. I remember talking to someone, it maybe was my sister, I'm not sure. They're here, so she can give me a nod. But they were talking about how when there's a lung transplant, it's one of the most amazing realities that they've ever seen, is that this lung looks dead and brown or whatever, and to see the life brought back into it is a powerful experience. The world sees it. The world sees it. Does it? The world see Jesus in you? How is your new life showing out to the world? I love the prodigal son story. We see a man who went to his father and said, give me everything that I have, that I deserve as being an inheritance from you. And he goes off and squanders it and just lives the most miserable, terrible life. And he comes to his senses as he's feeding pigs. And if you know anything, for a Jew, that's not a good thing to be doing. He said, maybe if I go home to my father and say, I have sinned against heaven, against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, make me one of your hired servants. That's what he went home as. He's like, I'll just go as a servant. Maybe dad will let me come home and just be a slave to him. But you all know the story. While it was that child, while that young man was a long ways off, the father was watching for the son. The Heavenly Father is watching for you and for me to come home. The Father's testimony was not, what have you done? The Father's exclamation was, this son of mine was dead, but he is alive again. This son was lost, but now he is found. Thirdly, baptism symbolizes life after death. The image of baptism serves as a reminder to us of what the Savior has done for us. And it points us to the truth that there is life beyond the grave. When you die, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. And until we pass into glory, I don't think we'll fully understand what that means. I don't think we'll understand fully what sin and our being removed from the presence of God has really done and how it has really affected our lives until we fully reach eternity. But baptism gives us confidence that even when we go under the water of death, that there is a new life waiting for each of us who have put their trust, their belief in Jesus Christ as their sacrifice. My question to you this morning is, have you put your trust, your belief in Jesus Christ this morning? This morning, when we baptized, we're going to do it one at a time. It's a little bit different than, and if you're a family member, listen up, because I'm kind of giving instructions here, but it's also a point in the sermon. When we die, it's not the end. And when we're going to have one person come up at a time, and I will invite close family members or those that have had a direct impact on this on the person being baptized to come forward and stand around the tank. The reason why is because when we reach eternity, you aren't going to sneak in the gate. There is celebration in heaven when one person gives their life to Jesus Christ. There will be the promise, there is the promise of loved ones joining us there. So as these people come out of the symbolism of death, there's also the symbolism of resurrection and those here to greet them as they are resurrected. How awesome is heaven going to be, people? I'm telling you, this is, Lord, come soon. That's all I got to say. May he come soon. As we as a church family celebrate with those being baptized today, it's time to take inventory. It's time to take inventory of your own life. Are you submitted to Jesus Christ this morning? Have you died to yourself so that you may be resurrected into new life in Christ? Are you reflecting Jesus by a life that people say, that person used to be this way, but I see a new creation? This is a reality. At some point, you're going to be in a box. And I don't think that the reality, this kind of looks like a coffin up here, and it's not lost on me. At some point, you're going to be maybe here, maybe somewhere else in a box. And people will testify to your life. But there's only one who truly knows where your heart is, and that is Jesus Christ. The accolades of man, the approval of those, even living a good life, will not cause you to enter the kingdom of heaven and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Only those who have put their hope, their trust, their confidence in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have heard us asking, hey, who wants to be baptized? This isn't high pressure salesman. That's not my desire this morning. But if you have been hearing the Spirit's call on your life and you have been rejecting the call of submission in your own life, you have not missed the opportunity to submit your life to Jesus. That father is at the end of the driveway saying, son, daughter, come home. You once were lost, but now you are found. Believe in him. Believe in Jesus and be baptized. Revelation 22, this is near the end of the Bible. It says this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is truly thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life come. That's the invitation for you here this morning. We're going to have a time of testimony where the people being baptized are going to come up and testify to the goodness of God and his salvation in their life. And then we're going to be singing. While a baptism is happening, there's going to be singing. And I don't know how this is all going to go because there's a lot of moving parts, but it doesn't really matter. And I invite you during that time of baptism to just sing, to worship, but to also be ministered to by the symbolism that is being portrayed to you. It's a lot like communion. It's a testimony to you, the person watching, as well. It's an opportunity for you to receive as well. So if God has been speaking to you and you desire to submit your life to him this morning, as we're singing those songs, I would just invite you to come forward. There'll be a leadership team member here that would love to pray with you. It's your opportunity to respond, to die this morning. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you. Lord, may we not push the spirit of conviction away. And it's just in my mind, Lord, that there are those here this morning that live under the bondage of shame. And we declare, Lord, that that shame is not from God, but the spirit of conviction is. So we ask that you would just pull back the shame, Lord, and allow your spirit of conviction to go into lives this morning and convict them. And may conviction make birth to action. May we not just be people that are convicted and move on about our lives thinking, man, thank you, Lord, for that word. But may it move us to action, to submission this morning. Once again, Father, I pray for those coming to share. May we be ministered to as they bring the word of their testimony. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're being baptized this morning, I invite you to come forward at this time. How about everybody stand for 15 seconds? Y'all are awfully quiet out here. You can go ahead and come on up. All right, you may be seated again. Sorry, I didn't realize y'all were waiting on me to set you back down. It is a good day to be here.
Yes.
It's a day of celebration within the body of Christ. Is there anything better than this? Russ, would you bring, we'll do our testimonies this direction. Russ, would you come ahead and testify to what God has done for you?
Good morning, church. My name is Russell Klein. I'm the son of James and Elsie Klein. As I stand here before y'all this morning, I'll admit there's a lot of fear. But there's one thing greater than fear, and that is Jesus. And that is why I'm able to stand here this morning and give my testimony. Throughout the 22 years I've lived, I would never admit to being a perfect person. No one is ever a perfect person. And I was someone that brought up probably about 4 months ago where I'd stood on my faith and where I was at with baptism. And that's been brought up to me many times throughout my life. And it's honestly never really made me think till I was asked 4 months ago. And when I really thought about it, where I was at with my faith, I was lost. 22 years of my life, I lived, I believed there was God, sure. Did I do anything? Did I spend time in prayer devotion? No. And that honestly hurt me. It was like, what am I doing? God has given me this life. Here I am just living it on my own. It wasn't a hard decision, but it also took a lot of thinking of where I was, what I was doing. And I must say, I'm thankful to God that he brought all these thoughts. He brought friends to life, asked me questions about my faith, and that really made me think. And I was stuck. This is how I worded to Mike. I was stuck on first base for 22 years, and I want to move on. I want to move on to second base. I want to move on to third base, and I want to go home to Jesus, to heaven. That is what I want. I can thank. When I look in my past, that's to see God's work. I had to look into my past because you look into your future, you're not going to see it. You have to look into the past and what he's done for you. What he's done for me is obviously given me loving parents, many friends who have helped me, talk to me through many things, helped me through hard times in life. It's not been an easy one. A couple years ago, we lost a family member. I try not to think about it too much anymore because it still hurts, but not as much as it did. And thank God for the peace he's given me on that. But also, I can look back on my life and just think about the strength he's given me of my how I feel about right and wrong. You can ask a lot of my friends where if we want to go to an abandoned place where we're not supposed to go, we want to go swimming where we're not supposed to go swimming, or do something that's not really illegal, but you probably shouldn't be doing it. I always have a tendency to be like, I don't feel comfortable being here, and the entire time I'll probably complain about the fact that we should go, like, hurry up, let's get out of here, come on. And I can look back and just that, and that's how it is with everything. If it's not maybe 100% right, I always feel it. It's like, I don't want to be doing this, I don't feel right doing this, and I can thank God for that. Looking into my future, I hope that this will, it will build my relationship with Christ. That is the goal. That is what I want to do. I want to be able to move to second base, move in my relationship, be able to come to God in prayer and have him just be able to give my problems to him, which has always been a struggle because I can fix things myself, but no, I can't, and I never will be able to, and only God can help me. When I was looking, I was going through the Bible trying to find a verse that I wanted to bring up, and what I came across was Psalm 119, verse 169 through 176. I thought it really fit this. It says, "Let me cry, or let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your sword, for all of your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Also, this morning, Buff came up to me, and he gave me an old hymn book that belonged to my great-granddad, Russell DeWitt Cline. And I just, as I was standing up here, I went through it real quick, and the first thing I opened up to was a section of hymns for baptism. And the first one I read, I thought was like perfect for this. It spoke to me. "Why keep silence and conceal my heavy guilt within my heart? What torments does my conscience feel? What agonies of inward smart? I spread my sins before the Lord, and all my secrets faults confess. Thy gospel speaks a pardoning word, thy Holy Spirit seals the grace. For this shall every humble soul make swift addresses to thy seat. When floods of huge temptation roll, there shall they find a blessed retreat. How safe beneath thy wings I lie, when days grow dark and storms, and when I walk, thy watchful eye shall guide me safe from every snare. And I want to live by that. I want to live by that, and I pray that, I ask that y'all will pray for me as I continue this walk, and I am blessed that I'm able to take this walk in God. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ.
Hello, my name is Brent Hirschberger. My parents are Connor and Esther Hirschberger. When I was 12 years old, I committed my life to Christ, and ever since that, then I've had a lot longing to be baptized. I struggle with excuses why I shouldn't be baptized. As of today, I want to accept Him as my Lord and Savior and publicly express it in the form of baptism.
Good morning. My name is Lincoln Heatwell, and my parents are Micah and Krista. I've been blessed to have great parents and siblings and good friends and an encouraging youth group. I didn't really have a point in my life where I decided I wanted to be a Christian and was changed. But I've always wanted Jesus to be Lord of my life and always wanted to be good. But like all people, I've had points in my life where I didn't do good at that. When I was younger, I did feel sorry of my sins and ask for forgiveness, but I've always thought I'd wait to get baptized till I get older or when my friends do. But I've been asking myself, why am I waiting? Finally, I decided to get baptized. I realized that I'm a sinner and need a Savior, so I'm glad to get baptized.
Good morning. My name is Anthony Brover, and my parents are Ivan and Luda Brover. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm very thankful for that. It helped me learn valuable lessons and good habits to live by. Around the age of 12, I realized that being a Christian takes serious commitment. Since I lived in a Christian household, I told others and myself that I was a Christian, but my actions didn't show it. When I realized this, I repented. Since then, I've been growing as a Christian. I've made mistakes along the way, but I chose to learn from them instead of letting them define me. Baptism has been in the back of my mind for a while now. When I heard one of Micah's sermons on baptism, it was a wake-up call for me. I knew I had to do it. The Bible is very clear when it says to repent and be baptized to believers. I hope to grow in my trust for God and to live my life for Him.
Thank you. Good morning, dear brother and sister. My name is Daman. We are from Iran. We are Persian. And 22 years ago, I dreamed and I saw Jesus. He was in the sky and He was shining. And He said, come to me. 22 years ago, and I believe. But today, my mom, she's here. She want share with you her testimony because she dreamed too, but she can explain for you.
Salam.
Hello.
Mahin hastam.
My name is Mahin.
خیلی خوشحالم که در کلیسای شما و با شما آشنا شدم.
I'm very happy because I'm here.
و من مطمئنم که خداوند منو به این کلیسا دعوت کرده.
And I'm sure God He invited me to your church.
چون من بارها و بارها خواب عیسی مسیح رو دیدم.
Because she had a lot of times she dreamed. She saw Jesus.
یکی از خواباشو میگم.
She want to tell you when she had dream.
چند نفر اومدن تو خواب من گفتن که مسلمانی یا مسیحی
she dream and people ask her, are you Christian or are you Muslim?
من ترسیدم.
She was afraid.
فکر کردم که سپاه پاسدارانم.
And she thought maybe it's police from my country.
گفتم فردا بیاید.
And she was afraid and she did not answer.
فردا که اومدن دوباره سوال.
And she say گفت که فردا.
فردا که اومدن دوباره سوال کردن.
And next day same people came and asked her, are you Christian or Muslim?
مسلمانی یا مسیحی.
Are you Christian or Muslim?
گفتم مسیحی.
She said I'm Christian.
روی کاغذ اسم منو نوشتن.
And people write my name.
انداختن توی کیسه درشو کشیدن.
And put my name in bag, in clothes bag.
به یه مسیحی که گفتم خوابم.
And after my mom asked Christian people in my country.
گفت اسمت ثبت شده.
And people said to my mom, your name is registered.
و پسر من کشیشه.
My son, he is a pastor almost.
و به من گفت که مسیحی بشم.
And my son, he told me, you should be Christian. So, yeah, amen. Yeah, thank God, brother and sister. I'm very happy. I'm very excited because we are here. And God, he invites me and my mother to your church. And thank God and thank brother Willard because first time he invited me to your church. And we are very happy. God bless you. Thank you.
I was meeting with Mahin and Damone last week. And we were talking about the gospel. And she said, I asked her if she was ready to be baptized. And she said, I just hate that I have to wait another week. So today has come. Yeah.
I'm excited now.
Yes, absolutely. She's excited. All right, I'm going to ask a few questions, and you can answer by I do, if that's your belief. Do you believe in God the Father, the creator of all things, Jesus Christ, the Son, Savior for all people, and the Holy Spirit, the faithful comforter? If you agree with that, can you say, I do? Do you repent of your sins? Submit your life to Jesus as Lord, and accept the sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah as your Savior, trusting Him in His death and resurrection for forgiveness and eternal life. If you agree, can you say, I do? Do you have peace in your heart that Jesus has forgiven your sins? And that He has come to live in your heart? If that's your testimony, can you say, yes? Yes. As you give yourself to Jesus, do you renounce all the works of Satan? And commit, with the Holy Spirit's help, to live in a relationship with God. If that is your desire, say yes. All right, well, that moves us in to our time for baptism. Willard, you wanted to say something and it didn't get said here this morning, so would you come forward and share that with us? I invite you all to sit down here on the bench.
I just wanted to say that the last commandment of Jesus that he gave us, he said to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. That was his command, to make disciples of all the nations. God has brought the nations to us. And I think, as we were saying, as we go, we need to make disciples of all the nations. This family is from the ancient city of Susa, which goes back in history to 2,500 years ago. And you remember Queen Esther lived in the city of Susa in the Old Testament, and God used her to save the Jewish people from being massacred during that time. I don't know, it just seems like an incredible honor to us that here at Dayton Mennonite Church, we can have two believers who come from the ancient city of Susa, who were under a dominion of another religion, but Jesus has set them free and brought them to the kingdom. And in Revelation we read that before the throne there will be people from all nations, from all ethnic groups, from every religion. I mean, not for religion, but from every ethnic group and tongue and tribe, praising and worshiping God. And we can do that here this morning from many different nationalities and people that are among us this morning as we worship.
Thank you, brother. I invite the worship team to come forward. Can you all sing and pour out your heart to God sitting? All right. We're going to enter into the baptism. And we are going to start with Lincoln. You all can go ahead and take your shoes off and your glasses. But as we get ready for each person, the family of that person that's close to them, we want people to be able to see, but we also desire that family to be able to come up and surround and be here when a life is put to death and raised a life in Christ. If your testimony is not that this morning, this is your time to come. Come. Scripture says, come. All right, For those helping with Lincoln, leadership team members, if you would like, turn around. Scoot forward. Come on up. Lincoln, upon your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, dead with Christ and raised a life with him in his resurrection.
Thank you.
Thank you for being at work here this morning. I thank you that this work isn't complete, but your spirit remains here this morning. I pray that your spirit of conviction will continue to work in the believer and the non-believer that is here this morning. Father, as we sing this last song, if there are those here this morning that need submission to Jesus Christ, we just pray, Lord, that their confidence would be in Jesus Christ and not in themselves. Lord, as we go from here, we pray that we would not leave the church, but that we would be the church. I pray protection over those that were baptized this morning. We know that the enemy desires to seek and destroy. So, Lord, just cover them with your protection. May the enemy have no grounds this week and in the coming months to steal and destroy what has happened here today. Empower them by your Spirit. Thank you that you have won. Jesus is King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, praise His name forever.
dismissed. Go in peace.